Usually, when massive institutions deal with a crisis, they act a bit like bouncers at a club.
Right, just get the problem out the door.
Exactly. Their first instinct is to protect the venue and just, remove the complication entirely. But today, we are taking a deep dive into a stack of policy documents from the Western Cape Education Department, and well, they reveal a system trying to completely rewrite its own rules.
Yeah, we're looking at their official policy on managing learner pregnancy in public schools.
And the really striking thing for you to keep in mind as we go through this is that these documents actively replaced an older manual that was literally focused on, quote, suspension and expulsion.
Wow, that is quite a pivot.
It really is. I mean, it's like watching an entire educational system pivot from acting as a bouncer to acting as a safety net. So a student who is suddenly thrust into adulthood just isn't left behind.
Right. And our mission for you today is to uncover how an educational system legally and practically balances a student's right to education with the incredibly complex reality of teenage pregnancy.
So to see how this safety net actually functions, I mean, where do we even start?
Well, you really have to look at the constitutional bedrock driving it. These documents aren't just like casual school board
Right,
suggestions.
they have real legal weight.
Exactly. They are rooted directly in the South African Constitution's Bill of Rights, explicitly protecting a child's right to dignity and their right to an education.
And the way they guarantee that right is actually what caught my eye. So the policy dictates that a pregnant learner is reclassified as a learner with special
Yeah,
needs.
that's a very specific administrative move.
But I have to ask, does officially slapping a special needs label on a pregnant teenager backfire? Like, does it create stigma among their peers?
It's a really fair question.
Yeah.
But the administration navigates that risk by treating the label as a bureaucratic key rather than, a public broadcast.
Oh, so it's not some big announcement.
Right, it's back-end paperwork.
Yeah.
Classifying the learner this way legally unlocks mandatory access to the school counseling network.
Got it. So it just gets them the help they need.
Yes, because the documents explicitly acknowledge that young parents risk dropping out. And if they do, they lose the skill to become economically productive citizens.
Which just creates a vicious cycle.
Exactly. Their children enter the system with severe economic and developmental disadvantages. So by forcing schools to approach this from a values-driven perspective, the policy's ultimate mechanism is to break that cycle.
Just keeping those future parents economically viable.
Exactly. But if the school is legally bound to keep them in the system, it suddenly has to navigate some intense physical hurdles.
Right, because you can't just ignore the medical realities of having a heavily pregnant student in a classroom.
No, you really can't. So there are strict guardrails in place to handle that. Families actually have to sign written agreements.
Wait, like illegal waivers?
Pretty much. They indemnify the school from pregnancy-related injuries, and they have to confirm the baby will not be brought to school after the birth.
That makes sense from a liability standpoint, but what about exams?
The exam logistics get incredibly specific, too. For grade 12 exams, if a learner is 32 weeks pregnant by October 1st, they get a few options.
Okay, what are they?
They can write in a separate room, go to a special examination center, or defer the exams entirely to March.
Wait, looking at these special center rules, I mean, if a student chooses to take the exams at a special center alone, they personally have to pay the invigilator's fee to the department out of pocket.
Yeah, that is in the document.
That seems entirely contradictory. I mean, how is it a safety net if a teenager has to suddenly foot a massive administrative bill just to take a math test alone?
Well, it highlights the really pragmatic and sometimes harsh reality of school management. The school has a dual mandate here.
Fulfilling the right to test, but also maintaining order.
Right. They must legally fulfill the pregnant individual's right to test, but they also have to protect the broader examination environment.
I guess you don't want someone going into labor in a silent hall with 200 kids taking finals.
Exactly. The policy points out that very real risk. Moving them requires extra staffing, and the bureaucracy currently pushes that cost onto the student. It's a logistical tightrope between individual rights and collective order.
Okay, but if the school is going to all these lengths and costs to accommodate the pregnant student, what is the policy doing about the other person involved?
Male co-responsibility.
Yes. Are male students facing the same logistical hurdles?
The policy does tackle it. If the responsible male learner is at the school, He must undergo counseling regarding his legal implications.
Just counseling.
And he has to sign a behavioral agreement. They also heavily stress preventing these situations through the local life skills curriculum.
Right, prioritizing abstinence and good moral values. But, I mean, the disparity there is pretty stark.
How so?
Well, the female learner is navigating medical timelines, physical risks, and exam reroutes, while the male learner gets a stern talking to and piece of paper to sign.
True. Structurally, though, it is an attempt to enforce mutual accountability, even if the physical burdens are obviously unequal.
I see what you mean.
What is really notable is how the policy tries to stretch its jurisdiction. It actually mandates notifying other principals if the male learner attends a completely different institution.
Oh, wow. So they reach out to other schools.
Yeah. The mechanism here is to ensure he doesn't just walk away anonymously. The schools communicate to create an administrative paper trail.
Holding him to those legal obligations regardless of where he studies.
Exactly.
So looking across these documents, for you listening, it really reveals a massive bureaucratic machine trying to manage profound human complexity.
It really is an unexpected intersection of constitutional rights, strict exam logistics, and moral education.
It is. But, you know, it makes you wonder about the future.
What do you mean?
Well, as societal attitudes shift and digital learning platforms completely take over, will the idea of keeping a pregnant learner physically integrated in a traditional brick-and-mortar school even matter in the next decade?
That is a fascinating thought to ponder.
Because whether those accommodations become digital or stay physical, the core goal will hopefully remain the same. Ensuring the institution never goes back to being a bouncer and always remains a safety net.